Well, what we're going to, I was going to do, and I'm going to change this around a little bit, but in John, don't turn there, but in John chapter 7, where we find ourselves, there's bookends there. And in John chapter 7, it really speaks about the fact that what we desire to see, and what I'm thankful for our brother Edison, where it says Jesus was at the feast, and this is 6 months after John 6, if you remember, and we'll see this again, Lord willing, next week. But in the middle of that Feast of Tabernacles, it says he went up the temple and began to teach. And then you get to the end of this section in John chapter 7, verse 24. He said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with a righteous judgment." In the United States today, we live in a hypnotized society in many ways. If you listen to Al Mohler this last week, he had some excellent commentary. One, and I simply quote, where he said, when massive change is taking place in a society, the vocabulary changes with it. He said, sometimes new words emerge. Sometimes old words are redefined. They're redeployed, sometimes recontoured. They go beyond their meaning, sometimes broaden beyond anything a previous generation could ever have imagined. So it's essential that we know truth. Jesus taught. He wasn't performing miracles now in John 7. He'd done that in John 6. They wanted more of the miracles. They didn't want his teaching. So now in John 7, he's teaching because he didn't want to go up the same time that the brothers, because they wanted him to perform miracles. And really, that's led to what we could say is almost a hypnotic reality of the church today, where in many ways we have abandoned doctrine, theology, teaching, and the result is you come to John chapter 7, verse 24, and we'll see this. No one's allowed to judge. Now, one of our problems is we don't judge with biblical judgment. We need to learn to discern our discernment. And we'll see that, because that's what a righteous judgment is it's to judge rightly. But you can't live a life if we don't have the basis of how we're to live according to truth. And we can't live out truth if we're not discerning towards that which is going on. And it's crazy. If you saw any of that, for instance, with the state of California and their curriculum, it's no longer history. It's now, it's HXR, because we don't want to have a male pronoun in there, and then story, or the word woman is no longer in the official curriculum of every public school in California. The word woman will not be woman. It will be W-X-M-A-N, W-O-M-X-N, that we don't want to have that pronoun in there. And you think about this and you're going, this is absurd. But the reality is, it doesn't matter, because whether we have absolutely ridiculous, stupid things like that, or whether we don't, we still need the same truth. We're still born in Adam. We are still in need of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation and what the second Adam has given us. And it exceeds beyond the borders of the United States. It goes to the ends of the earth, whether it's in Papua New Guinea with the webs, or whether it's in Jay's going to Singapore and then into Indonesia, or whether it's in Santa Marta, and the saints are sweating down there today, aren't they? I mean literally sweating down there in Santa Marta. God's truth is God's truth. And here you see it where it says Jesus began to teach. And I want to just say a few words on that today, because we have Edison here with us. And one of the things that I appreciate about this man is he teaches the truth. And he does it in a humble... You come up and talk to Edison and you tell me you don't see anything but a humble servant of the Lord. And that's judging. I'm making a judgment right here that this is a brother that we are thankful to be able to support and to be able to partake in what goes on there. And so when we look at this, I just want you to think for a second where it says Jesus began to teach. Jesus began in the temple to teach. And the people's reaction was, how does this guy that hasn't been trained, how does this guy know these things? How did the uneducated literally become educated? And it goes back to, who's the best teacher? Today, it's the guy that sells the books, TV shows, popular, follows or creates the latest trends, size of the group following him or size of the building in which that group meets. The best teacher is the one that does the best job presenting the purest view of the glory of our God. And that's only going to happen through God's word. And that's what I appreciated so much about my time, Jim and I. It was not just Jim, I shouldn't say that. It was Gringo Jim. It was a bunch of guys, Jim, am I wrong, that wanted truth. And so we spent 16 to 18 hours every day with truth. Because that's what people wanted, and that's what people need. And so when we come to this, you know, it's not about stories. They say Jesus spoke with authority. How did he speak with authority? Did he speak louder than everybody? Did he tell better stories? Was he ultra dogmatic on everything? He spoke that which the Father gave to him, and he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth, and what is our life? It is truth. We're going to see in John chapter 8, and verse 31, where who is the true disciple? The true disciple is the one that continues in his word. The true disciple is the one that continues in truth. The true disciple is the one that loves truth. The true disciple is the one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come in here today, and we struggle because we live in this world. We live in a sinful world that seems to be becoming more sinful in our world. We live as sinners in a sinful world. Last week when I wasn't here with Jeremy and Hannah getting married, I reminded them that it's not just a marriage of two sinners coming together. I said, the trouble is, it's you're a sinner and you're marrying a sinner. You are a sinner first, marrying a sinner, and then you have to live in a sinful world. That's why so many marriages today are destroyed before they even get started, because they have no basis of how they're to live, because they have no foundation of truth. And our society is trying to build everything without truth, and we want to recreate humanity without truth, and we wonder why things are so off base today. And it's only going to get worse, because if you abandon God, you invite absolute chaos. And so with Edison or with Columbia or with Santa Marta in their church there, our desire for them is that they reach people with the truth. And that's what they're doing. And it's not some hype. It's a group of people that truly do love one another because it overflows out of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus stood there and he taught, and he taught, and he taught, and these people were amazed. Isn't it amazing that they were amazed? Because it should have been the normal thing. But it wasn't then, and it's not now. And that's why we come together today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that they're doing that in Santa Marta, in the same way that they're doing that all around the world. Isn't that exciting? That the gospel knows no boundaries of age. It knows no boundaries of economic success or six stages of life that you can live within the stratosphere of success there in Colombia. Or it knows no geographical boundaries, because we all share every human being, the fact that we are born in Adam and we need nothing in this life but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything. And what we have today is an invitation to his table to be reminded of what we shouldn't have to be reminded of, and that is Christ is everything. And so, Edison, I do thank you for your example. And I thank you for allowing us to be part of that with you. And we look forward to more in the future. And so with that, I want to have you just think with me for a few minutes. Why do we struggle to remember what we should always or we should never forget? It's because we get so consumed with ourselves, with good things in life. I mean, we as a family could say, well, we've been busy. When aren't we busy? And we're going to do the things that are key that we want to do, and we're not going to do the things that we really don't want to do. And it's a reminder that who's to be the focus of all that? It's to be Christ. And we come in here today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in the temple, Jesus taught. And remember last time we saw that everybody had their opinion about Jesus. He's this. He's not a nice guy. He's led people astray. Oh, we think he's good. And we need to come back in here and take a step back and remember, you know what? We need to behold his glory. And we need to re-behold his glory. And we need to look again at Christ. And we need to see his glory. Because as soon as we walk out of here, we start thinking about, what am I going to do? Actually, probably not as soon as we walk out. Probably a lot of you are thinking that right now. This is gringos. Busy, busy, busy. We think about, what am I going to do? What do I have to do this week? When's Jeff going to shut up? You know, that's the way we are. You know, how do I have to do this? Do we have to go to lunch? Hamburger sounds okay. I'll eat and run. Remember, I just want us to take a few minutes to remember why we came here today. We've said we're a body. We're all parts. The body doesn't work by itself. It works together. You don't come in here in a stone building. Now there, I can tell you, in Santa Marta, it's stone, it's concrete, and it's humid inside. We're not talking about real stones. We're talking about something better. We're talking about living stones. And Peter said, we come in to his temple as living stones, and we come in to offer up sacrifices. Why do we come in to offer up sacrifices? Because it says we're a kingdom of priests. We are a holy nation. We are his people. We are his bride. And he comes to wash us with his word. So as we come in here today, we come in here as priests. That means we don't just come in here and check it off and say, okay, we can just leave. We come in here as his priest, and what do? We offer up sacrifices. And remember, I told you, if you take the definition of a priest and you go back to Hebrews where it says the priest is there in the things pertaining to God, the one thing we do as a priest with one another as living stones that are there connected because we are a body together, that as we come in here as a priest, our job is to then offer up a sacrifice, that we come in here to offer up a sacrifice of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the offering up a sacrifice of praise is all those one another's that we come in here to build up one another, to see the people of Christ become more conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what Russ's class is about by Sinclair Ferguson, to grow in Christ, to become mature. We radiate the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do that as a group together. It's that, and it's not this individual stuff. And so we come in here today to offer up ourselves with the goal of not only ourselves becoming more like Christ, but if you look around you, your task is as a priest to see one another become like Christ. And that's our act of worship before a God who's everything. We don't miss out on this. We only miss out when we miss Christ. Can you go to church and miss Christ? You better believe you can. Can you go to church and not worship Christ? You can go through all the motions you want. And it says in all through the Bible that God gets sick of that stuff. And we come in here and we say, you know what? I'm guilty of all that. And in my guiltiness, I'm reminded right here that I have an advocate before the Father. And what's it say in 1 John? It says, if anyone sins, they have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What's Jesus Christ the righteous do? He came to take care of the problem of sin. And Jesus Christ doesn't whitewash it. He takes care of it. It's done. In fact, as an advocate, he doesn't sit there and pretend like, well, you know what, these people are really pretty good. He says, no, they're guilty of everything you just claimed. But I took care of every sin. That sin has been paid for. We have Jesus Christ the righteous, and in that we have one who has come to die and to give himself and now to wash his church clean to become more conformed to the image of his Son. So that is your task today, realizing that whether it's in Colombia, whether it's in Singapore, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, whether it's anywhere, it's Christ that is the focal point of humanity, is to be that way. And someday it will be in perfection in the new heavens and the new earth. But until that time, it's a fight. And so fight right now to say, I'm going to come and I'm going to offer up myself as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do this because guess what? I take him for granted. I forget. I get so focused on other things, and he wants me to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, Jesus Christ exalted at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ someday to return for his people, and right now in the process, as his people gather together, he washes us with his word. And so, as we partake around the Lord's table today, don't just think we go through the motions. Behold the glory of the one that we just sang about. Behold the glory of the one that actually came to give himself as a sacrifice. Behold the glory of the one that now holds on to me, that in his grace, he's going to conform me to his image. And someday, that image is going to be a perfect reflection of all that God is in his beautiful Son. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your Son that would come to die for us. Father, we pray that as we focus on the death of your Son, as we focus on the glory of the victorious reign of your Son, that we would put life into the focal point that it should be today, that Christ would be the foremost in our attention, that we would give praises for all that he is, and that we would want to share that, encourage. We would want to embrace one another, that we are a group of people all struggling in our own way, prone to wander from the Lord we love, and yet you're the good shepherd. So, Father, help us even to shepherd one another. We ask that what we do here would glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.